In this interview, I sit down with Olympic photographer Jeff Cable. Jeff and I talk about his preparations for the upcoming 2018 Winter Olympics in South Korea. That's coming your way next on TWIP. This is TWIP. All right, I'm here with my friend Jeff Cable. Jeff is an accomplished photographer. He's done a million things. We're gonna talk about some of the things he's done, but the focus of this interview is something that's coming up later this month, actually in about a week or so. It's the 23rd Winter Olympics in was it Pyeongchang, right? Is that how you pronounce it? Pyeongchang?
I think it's Pyeongchang here and Pyeongchang there, I think.
Okay, yeah, South Korea. It's in South Korea.
Yes,
not north, south. It's in South Korea. Yeah, or else you may not be coming back. So
that's true. My last interview.
I know, exactly. Where's Jeff? So I want to talk about this. I was thinking about this interview for like a week, and I'm like, there's so many angles to tackle this discussion from. I figured I would just tackle it kind of cold, like from a guy that has not been to the Olympics, let alone to shoot it, to a guy that's been there many times. So, you know, kind of like an apprentice kind of conversation. Okay. So, and I think many people in the audience are in the same boat as me. So let's start with you. Like, give me a little bit of your background in photography and, you know, how you got started, and then we'll dive into the Olympic stuff.
Well, I got started. It's funny. I was working as director of marketing at Lexar for a long time, for like 12 years, and just got to, I was already into photography, but I got more and more into it there and got to know some really great photographers and learned from them just by osmosis. So I started a photo business kind of by mistake on the side, and it just kept growing. I have total passion for it. I love doing it. I mean, it's great to make money on it, but it's even more fun if you make money at something you love doing. So,
right.
And the photo business just kept growing and growing. My first Olympics was back in 2008 in Beijing. And then I was still working at Lexar for like a long time after that. They got to the point where it's like so hard to do both jobs. And I thought, well, I could do the corporate thing and, you know, get a nice safe paycheck, or I could go do what I love doing. That's what I'm doing now. And it's a lot of fun.
Fast forward, and here we are now. So how did you get hooked up with the Olympics? Like, can anybody just go get a pass and go shoot it? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, just apply. No, don't do it. It was a long process, honestly, to get in. I was lucky enough to kind of go in partially credentialed in 2008. Mm-hmm. I saw what the photographers were doing and thought, okay, I want to do that. I mean, because, you know, there's nothing that's like the pinnacle, right, is to be able to shoot the Olympics. And so I just worked for a year and a half trying to find a way in, couldn't find a way in, was really frustrated, and have some friends in the NHL because I've shot a lot for the San Jose Sharks and stuff like that. And so I thought, well, I'll just shoot for USA Hockey. And of course, they don't return your call because, you know, who are you?
Right.
Anyway, so after about a year and a half of working at the system, I was able to use my connections in the NHL to get me in contact with USA Hockey, and basically I shot for free just to prove that I could do it for them. And then Summer Olympics, obviously hockey doesn't go, so I was connected once I got into the USOC and understood the process. They helped connect me up with other teams, and I ended up shooting for USA Water Polo for very little money, also to prove myself. And that was the first two. And now I'm part of what they call the Olympic family, which is very flattering and very cool. So that, you know, it's no longer like, oh gosh, I hope I get a credential. It's, I know I get a credential, and, you know, what am I gonna do? So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's fantastic. So in terms of compensation, though, is it a labor of love? Like, you're just, oh, yeah, there it is. Is it a labor of love? Like, you can, you know, the fact that you're allowed to go in there and you're part of the Olympic family, that's your compensation? Or are you getting paid to do this? Or is a magazine paying you? Like, how does that work?
I don't shoot for any publications. I'm shooting for my blog. So I actually shot for one of the wire services. So I shoot for Team USA. So USA Hockey at the Winter Olympics. That'll be my primary sport. I'll shoot men's and women's. I actually posted to a wire service one time. I think it was back in Sochi Olympics. And goodness gracious, you're working like every night captioning images and do all stuff. And my total paycheck was pathetic. And I'm like, this isn't even worth it. Well, I'd rather actually dedicate the time to my blog, because the blog readership, which goes from about 40,000 readers to about between 250,000 and 500,000 during the Olympics, that is more fun. So, and wow. For those of you who don't know, it's blog.jeffcable.com. There, that's my shameless plug. But basically, I blog every day from the Olympics, like what I shot, how I shot it, behind the scenes, what's it like
to be. Oh, that's so cool.
It's really fun. Like this time I'm actually going to do, like, I'm getting on the plane. We have separate entrances, like separate security lines for athletes. So I get to go in the athlete line. So like, what's that all like? So I'm going to try to show that whole process as well. It's a labor of love, but that's really what I love doing. So I've now, the last couple Olympics, I did this in Rio as well. I did not shoot for any wire services, even though I have many of them asking me to. I shoot for Team USA and I shoot for the blog.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So any live streaming? You going to do any like social media live streaming?
You can't.
Licensing?
Yeah. So they don't allow us to do any live broadcasting, because if I live broadcast from the Olympics, I'm competing with NBC. So we can't. So I can do, I've done some like Facebook lives, not within the Olympic Park. So I'll do it from outside the Olympic Park and then it's okay. So I'll do a little bit of that. But it's mostly the posting the images and writing that I'm doing and not so much, you know, some little bit of video, but not a lot.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Let's switch gears to how do you prepare for something like this? Both, I mean, mentally, physically, and then how do you equip yourself? You know, you've been there multiple times and you're no spring chicken when it comes to doing sports photography, but still you've got to be a little bit nervous because there's only going to be 123rd Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's a little daunting. This one's challenging because of the weather. Like if you look, it's like, you know, high of 8, low of -14. I'm from California. Like I'm in shorts and t-shirts.
You got thin blood.
It's 70 degrees out here. So this is one challenge that I'm not used to dealing with. So it's weird. Like my first Olympics, I didn't sleep for like 6 weeks. So like, am I going to bring the right equipment and all that? Now you have a partnership with Canon. So Canon's already bringing 1DX Mark IIs for me. 200 to 400 for me is waiting in Korea. So I don't have to carry all that, which is great. And I can borrow their equipment there. And then I'll take a bunch of the 7200, 100, 400, 2470, 1635. And then, you know, remote brackets, pocket wizards for remote shooting. Sure. You know, monopods. You know, I've got to get some monopod, get some tripod, think tank bags, all that stuff. Yeah. But that's not really the challenge. The challenge to me, like I said, this time is more clothing. Like, am I going to become an icicle there and never talk to you again? And this will be my last interview ever. will I survive? So those are the challenges. But and then photographically, you know, shooting for USA Hockey is nice because it's controlled, right? We're indoors. So I know the lenses to use, the settings to use. I've done it before. I know what they want. I know how to tell the story. That I'm not so worried about. It's I'm also shooting for Fila and a couple other companies where I've got to go and shoot stuff up in the mountains where like probably morning till like midnight because ski jumping doesn't even start till like probably 9 o'clock at night because I usually like it in dark. So, you know, if it's -5 degrees, am I going to have the right stuff? So I've got like gloves coming today. I got these gloves from Freehands that, you know, you can remove the fingertips. So everything else is covered except for that. But the ones I got from B&H, I don't know if they're thick enough. So I called Freehands, the guy who runs it, like, help, which ones should I have? He's like, no, get these. So he's overnighting those to me today. So little, like, silly little things that make a big difference.
Yeah.
And the process is a 2-year process. So this has been, the credential process was 2 years ago. Housing commitments were all done about a year ago, and with changes along the way. The process itself is literally a 2-year process, and then the culmination is like in the last month. I've been buying heavy jackets and, you know, long underwear and all that stuff I need, and then you know, packing. Everything's been laid out. My poor living room is like all stuff.
It's Olympic prep area.
It's brutal. Yeah, the house cleaners are coming today. My wife's like, really? Like, how are they going to clean? Like, they're not. Just tell them.
Don't go in their room. Don't touch any of that stuff. Yeah. What about planning for the shot? So do you, from a mental standpoint, do you go in knowing that these, for this particular day, these are the 10 shots. If I get these shots, I'm successful. No, anything else is gravy, or do you just throw yourself into the mix and like, I know what they want, I'm just going to go for it?
One of the great things about being independent, I think I'm the only independent photographer for the USOC. I'm not going as a newspaper or a magazine or a wire service, so no one's telling me where to go. So if you look at like Associated Press, Getty and those guys, they'll say to a photographer, you're shooting curling, you know, 48 matches of curling, and that's what you're doing at the Olympics. And so for me, I want the freedom to do what I want. Now, contractually, I am shooting for all the hockey games. So those and that my job in hockey is to tell the story. And I don't know what that is. Right. If it's a shutout, I better have a good shot of the goaltender stopping a puck. Mm-hmm. If someone gets a hat trick, I better have a good shot of them shooting and scoring or whatever. So I don't know what that'll be. I shoot hockey, and I've been warming up shooting in Sharks games here locally, just getting, you know, like an athlete, you have to warm up, you have to get into that mode. Mm-hmm. But as far as like the other sports, if a hockey game isn't until 9 o'clock at night and I've got all day, I'll get up and I'll look at my phone or our intranet site that we use there, and I'll say, okay, what's going on now? Okay, figure skating, short track, speed skating, curling, whatever. All right, I'm gonna go hit this, and of course, I have to make sure I'm back in time for hockey. So yeah. I aim to be there by like 7 p.m. because you want to make sure you get in, get position, and prepped and all that. But so yeah. I can go shoot whatever I want. And that's why I like shooting for the blog. It's fun to shoot, to show people different sports. Cause I don't think anybody wants to read my blog and just see hockey. Right, so it's kind of cool. And it's for me, people ask me, what's your favorite thing to shoot? Is anything new? I like shooting something that I have not shot before or in a different way, motion panning, something I haven't motion panned or whatever. So that's kind of what drives me.
And like in the beginning of this interview, I was saying that I don't know, it seems contrived to say the Renaissance photographer, but you shoot lots of genres of photography, sports, you do bar mitzvahs, you know, landscape, all that kind of stuff, and you do them all excellent.
Right? No, so, thank you. I appreciate that.
You do. I mean, people
I don't know. I look at other people's work and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I mean, these people.
Well, people can look at your blog, and I'll put the lower third here. You know, people can look at your blog and make their own determination, but I think it's excellent. So, in that genre or in that mindset, What genre of photography do you like? What's your desert island genre? You know, if you had to pick one.
Well, I mean, honestly, the Olympics. I guess the Olympics, yeah, sports. The pinnacle. Yeah. I mean, no, and it's not even sports. It's just the Olympics isn't even sports. The Olympics is sports. It's a social event. It's you know, it's hard to get there. It's hard to get credentialed. It's just like, honestly, I pinch myself all the time. Like, I can't believe this is my sixth one. Like, it's so weird.
That's because crazy.
To go to one is cool. To go to two is amazing. To do six is, and to do it for the team. Like, it's really cool to be part of the team. Mm-hmm. You know, when they do their gold medal party, I get to go. I get to wear the gold medal. Like, I mean, stuff that most people don't get to, really fun. So, but as far as like what I love to shoot, you know, like I'm shooting two bar mitzvahs tomorrow. And before I go, what was I thinking? So I've got those to go through, and I'll have to go through all 6,000 images on Sunday and post it before I leave on Monday morning. But at the same time, it's like, I love shooting everything. So tomorrow when I'm shooting, I'll be into that moment and capturing family history. Yeah, it's not Olympics, but it's important to them. So, sure. And I'm always trying to get a different shot. Like, I can't shoot an event cookie cutter. So I treat everything I'm shooting, whether it's family picture for us or whatever, like, how can I do this better than I did last time? Mm-hmm. And that drives me, you know. Yeah. So I don't really have one thing. I mean, I get to go to Africa on safari once or twice a year to teach. Mm-hmm. Costa Rica a couple times a year, and I teach those are all on my website on the workshop page, and it's a blast. But it's like, I mean, I was in Costa Rica last month, and I walked out of my room, and it's like there's a sloth and monkeys and a toucan flying by, and like, and I can't help.
Like, who gets to do that? Like, right. That must be amazing. I mean, just like, think about it. You were saying that you were at Lexar for what? You said 12 years. You're at Lexar. Yeah. Lexar 12 years, and I visited you in your office, and it was. You know, it was a great place, but it's just corporate, right? It reminded me of Apple or Adobe or Google, you know. It's like that. But going from that sort of time to make the donuts kind of existence to, hey, there's a three-toed sloth, and I have a gold medal, and I'm partying with Olympians, you know?
It is cool. I mean, it's just different, and I think that's why I made the switch. I mean, you know, it's nice to have the corporate security. You know, it's nice to have health benefits.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is amazing just to have the freedom to just do what I want to do. You know, I fly where I want to fly. I stay where I want to stay. I make all my own schedules, which, you know, in the corporate world, you know how that goes. You know, oh no, you can't fly that airline. We don't allow it, or whatever. And so all these little things that kind of put you in a box. And like I said, shooting to me, like, I was coming back, I was teaching in Australia, and some guy sitting next to me is like, we were there for work or pleasure. And I'm like, kind of same thing.
You just say yes.
And he looks at me, he's like, oh my God, you have the dream job. If he can say that, I'm like, I guess I do. You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Like my, who was it? I forget what the famous person that said the quote was, if you're doing what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Right. Yeah, right. That's exactly, I mean, and I feel like that. I mean, the Olympics is work. Trust me. I mean, I'm, you know, it's 9 a.m. till 3 a.m. every day. I forget who it was. Someone said it was like shoot the Super Bowl every day for 3 weeks. And it's crazed, but you're at the Olympics. So, you know, you can sleep next month.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? I know you got a jam. You got a million things to do. I wanted to touch on, well, first of all, this is the first of two interviews. So as you know, we talked about off camera. I wanted to do this one before you go. And then assuming you make it back, you'll make it back.
Yeah.
So I want to do one in the future with post-Olympic Jeff Cable and see how it went for you and all that. But I had one other question, like going through the news and all that stuff and how everyone's sort of ramping up for this event now. There is the concern of South Korea, and obviously North Korea is a persistent antagonist, right? And they are going to be at this Olympics this year. And there was some, I think I was reading an article on CNN or something, and they were talking about how the North Korea had done some terrorist type activities in previous Olympics to kind of disrupt things. Does that concern you at all, you know, going over there?
No, I mean, I'm more concerned with getting the shots. I mean, because here's the thing. Every Olympics, there's something. Rio, it was security. Sochi, they weren't ready. You know, there's always something that's going to, terrorist attacks and threats and stuff. I mean, traffic's me horrible, blah, blah, blah. And every Olympics I've gone to, it's that's never occurred. And I'm not going to live my life scared to do something. So my philosophy is, you know, I'm going. And I'm not really worried about, I mean, I don't think, as crazy as the people in North, you know, Kim Jong-un is, I don't think he's going to attack the Olympics and, you know, tick off everybody and have enemies around the world. I don't think that's going to happen. What's more interesting to me is the story, like the North Koreans, South Koreans are combining for their hockey team.
Like, oh, I did not know that.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, they're going to march into opening ceremonies together. Like that's historic. So like when you talk about shots that you want to get, that's one. Okay, opening ceremonies, provided I haven't frozen to death at the time they walk in, because you know, we have to be there 5 hours before it starts, and it's a five so it'll be 9 or 10 hours in there freezing.
Wow. But
when they come in, that'll be a historic moment, right? So I look at it more as that, like what can I do to capture that? Same thing with a hockey team. I gotta shoot at least some pictures of that hockey team because it's an interesting story. I'm not worried. I mean, you know, I like I said, every time there's something, and trust me, there will be challenges. There are always challenges at every Olympics. Yeah. You know, as long as I remain healthy, like in Rio, I was sick almost the entire time I was there. Opening ceremonies, I ate a hot dog. I don't know what was in the hot dog. Literally sheared off half my tooth. So I shot for a whole month without half a tooth and just ate on this side of my mouth for a month until I got home and then had it fixed. And like, there's always something. And you just got to roll with it. And, you know, you're at the Olympics. And so they do have medical and stuff there. And, you know, hopefully I'll stay healthy. I've been staying away from everybody because of this flu. So I've been, like, confining myself in my house.
Watch those gas pump handles, man. I'm telling you.
And the ATM machines. I know. And your cell phone. I've been washing my hands, like, a lot. And trying to stay, you know, taking emergency and vitamins and all that stuff. But, you know, but there's always something, and you know, I'd rather just go and have fun and enjoy it. And I told my kids, I go, look, in the rare case where something happens and I don't come home, you know, have a huge party and play good music. Because, like, I mean, again, I've gotten to live and do something that most people don't get to do. Yeah. So, you know, might as well celebrate it.
Absolutely.
It's not like my eulogy. Just
thanks. I know. I'm getting scared. I'm like, this interview is going to become really prophetic if something happens. No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Yeah. Oh, this is good. So the final parting question is, obviously, you haven't been to shoot the Winter Olympics in South Korea yet, but of all the other Olympics that you've been to, what was your favorite one and why?
Someone just, I did another interview this morning. They asked the same question. London was one of my favorites just because it was easy. I stayed at a great condo right on the Thames River, sharing with some other people, and that was fun. English speaking, cool venues. Although the challenge with London, it was so spread out that to go from one venue to another could take you 2 hours on a bus or an hour and a half. But, you know, be able to shoot Wimbledon. You know, tennis was at Wimbledon, and, you know, the beach volleyball was like right in front of the Parliament building. I mean, it was just crazy stuff. So that was really fun. It was pretty good. And that was the last one that was kind of sane. We went from there to Sochi, Russia, where we had no shower curtains, no Wi-Fi at the press hotel. I mean, I
heard about that. Like, yeah,
it was just crazy. And then I went to Rio, where my housing was good and the venues were okay, but you know, Rio's not very safe. So walking around, even with, you know, even a 5D Mark III, I don't know what's laying around here. Yeah, 5D Mark III laying around. You don't walk around town with this. Like, if you do, the people are like, oh, don't do that. And I'm like, oh, there's security everywhere. No. Like, and so then there's security issues. So it's always something. But London was probably my favorite. Maybe this will be a favorite too. We'll see. Everyone
has this one's going to be a favorite. This is going to be a favorite.
I think everyone has its own uniqueness. And so it's hard to actually pick a favorite because, you know, I mean, Beijing, I got to shoot Michael Phelps winning his third gold. That at the time, that was like, I mean, I had a smile on my face for a week because it was so cool to do that. Yeah. So I have great memories from all of them, you know.
Wow.
And luckily, I don't have any bad. I mean, my worst memory from the Olympics was the last Winter Olympics in Sochi when the U.S. women were finally going to win gold. They haven't won gold in 20 years against Canada. We were up by two goals. The last 2 minutes or 3 minutes of the game, Canada scored. I had already switched to my wide lens because I had access to go on the ice to shoot the gold medal picture because I shoot for the team. So I already switched lenses. I'm like, we got this. Canada scored. Then they pulled their goalie with like a minute left, scored again. It went to overtime. They came out and scored and won. And it was like watching someone die. Seriously, like the girls crying outside after I was done editing, like hours later, it was probably 2 a.m. I left the arena with my contact from USA Hockey and all the girls were still outside with their families and everybody's crying. And the next day at the team party, they would, like, some girls wouldn't even talk. They were so mad because you don't win a silver. You lose a gold. Right?
Yeah.
In the bronze medal match, you either win a medal or you don't. Right?
Mm-hmm. But
for the others, you know, they lost the gold and they had it in their grasp. And that was something I'd love to see that reversed. I'd love to see them win. Yeah. That's my one hope, is that the girls win. Because they really deserve it. They're a great team and really nice people, and I want to see them win. So
we'll all be watching. We'll be watching. I'm going to keep an eye on those cameras to see if I can see you running around over there.
You'll be like my kids. They'll be like, hey, Dad, you're chimping.
Like, stop looking at your LCD, dude.
They'll critique me. or they'll send me a text or whatever, like, wasn't that a great game? I'm like, I don't know, I'm looking through a hole that's about that big and trying to see if I'm in focus. So a lot of times I don't really catch the action sometimes. So
You got to look at it through a straw. That's crazy. Well, cool, man. Well, thanks for doing this. I appreciate you taking the time out before you jump on that plane to talk to us. And any parting shots you want to leave to This Week in Photo audience?
No, just like I said, follow the blog and join the fun, because really my whole goal is just to share what the experiences is with everybody. And it's just, and the more readership, you know, obviously that makes it more fun for me to keep writing and doing all that. So, yeah, I mean, other than that, just, you know, and if you like, I guess my other thing would be, if you get a chance to go to the Olympics, go, because it's just a blast.
All right. There you go. We'll leave it right there. Jeff Cable, thanks a lot, man.
You're welcome.
All right. See you next time.
This is Twip.